Stability, a dead end, a logjam, a standstill, a deadlock, an impasse, something that's intolerable or unbearable. It's got to be a bad situation, really rotten circumstances. You may have noticed that there's a lot of that going around right now. And while a lot of our attention goes to the pandemic and things that has impacted, there are circumstances in life that seem impossible, have seemed impossible for a long, long time. There are family relationships and other relationships. There are employment issues or business circumstances. There are financial issues that we encounter. There's health and bad news that we receive from the medical profession from time to time. And so much more, so much more. But here's the good news that we have, even in the middle of a pandemic, even in the middle of a life that may be mired in really terrible circumstances, and that is we serve a breakthrough God. God does his best work when things seem impossible, when it seems like we have hit a dead end, when we seem to have found ourselves in a standstill, a deadlock, an impasse where life is unbearable. And we have the most important thing that we need for a breakthrough. We have a breakthrough God. A God that intervenes to change whatever the circumstance might be that we're living. The prophet Micah prophesied in Micah 2:13, "The one who breaks open the way will go before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head." The one who breaks open the way will go before them. And this morning I declare over each one of you that the God that we serve, the breakthrough God that we serve, will open the way, will go before us. He has been going before us. He has been opening the way. And, well, we just have to wait for his timing. The psalmist declared in Psalm 91:3-4, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." Throughout history, God has been breaking through. That's what God does. That's not only his nature, but that is what he does. He breaks through from heaven to earth. God broke through on creation, in the creation story, and will continue to break through just like he has ever since then until Jesus returns in a cloud. The Old Testament is a history of God breaking through on behalf of his people, miraculous provision and miraculous protection, and so much more. God breaking through in the circumstances of his people for their good. Christmas that we're coming up on now in a few weeks is a great celebration, but it's especially a celebration of a breakthrough God, a breakthrough God that kept his promise, a breakthrough God who did that even in the worst of circumstances, a breakthrough God who did that through the birth of Jesus. Easter is another over-the-top breakthrough, and God loves to do these over-the-top breakthroughs. The death and resurrection of Jesus. Then we have Pentecost and the breakthrough of the Holy Spirit from into the lives of those who believe. And it continues today. The good news is that we serve that same breakthrough God. The passage for this morning as we finish up the book of 1 Thessalonians is a clear teaching on the return of Jesus. That's the last breakthrough that we're waiting for. There'll be many, many breakthroughs between now and then, and the final breakthrough will be when Jesus returns, and he is coming again. But it's also a reminder that our hope is in a breakthrough God, not in the circumstances, not in our best efforts. It's in a breakthrough God. The Thessalonians were waiting for the return of Jesus. They felt sure it would happen in their lifetime. They were experiencing many different feelings about his coming. They were anxious. They were anxious because they had loved ones, believers who had already died, and the way they had understood the promises, the way they understood their circumstances caused them to worry. They were concerned. about what would happen to those who have died when Christ returns. There are two things to note as we go through this text this morning. The first is how Jesus breaks through even today, and how he will break through on the day of the Lord. Here we have Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica and giving them some encouragement and some perspective and some solid teaching about the return of Jesus, about that last breakthrough. But that breakthrough, even like the breakthrough in the story of creation, is the same kind of thing that God has done throughout history and wants to do in each of our lives. And that is breakthrough in the circumstances in which we're living. The circumstances that seem so out of control, and make not only make sense of those circumstances, but use those circumstances so that we are able to represent him as king on this earth. As we go through this passage, I would also invite you, as we're reading, to watch the contrast in this section. We have life and death, we have hope and despair, we have light and darkness, day and night, asleep and awake, drunkenness and self-control, salvation and wrath, being with the Lord, separated from the Lord. And so we begin reading in chapter 4, verse 13. And now, brothers and sisters, I want you to know what will happen to the Christians who have died. This was the issue that the church in Thessalonica was concerned about, what they were anxious about, what they were wondering and fearing the worst. And Paul says, I want you to know what will happen. What will happen to the Christians who have died, so you will not be full of sorrow like people who have no hope. We have hope. The folks in Thessalonica had hope, they just didn't know it. And so often as we face difficult circumstances, we face them as people who appear to have little or no hope. But we are God's people and we have hope. We have hope that God will intervene, that God will break through, that God will do the impossible. And Paul writes and he says, let me give you perspective. There's no need to be anxious. There's no need to be worried. God has already covered this. And here's a word I would like you to hear. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are that have you anxious and concerned and worried. The stuff that keeps you awake at night, the things that you wake up and you can't go back to sleep because they just go round and round and round in your head. The word of the Lord for you today is God has it covered. Whether it's family or friends or finance or work or whatever it might be, God has it covered. The breakthrough for some is really a matter of coming to terms with reality, the reality that God has it covered. And Paul continues in verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus comes, God will bring back with Jesus all the Christians who have died. God's got it covered, he says. God has it covered. He has a plan. Just don't worry about it. Verse 15, I can tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not rise to meet him ahead of those who are in their graves. In fact, the ones that you're worried about are going to get preferential treatment. So relax. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout. I always wondered what that shout was. It'll be interesting to hear that shout. I wonder, what is Jesus going to shout about? Is it going to be the same as on the cross? It is finished. If so, that's a simple one to understand. Suffering and starvation and terror and death and indignity and hopelessness and sickness and disease and heartache and sorrow and pain and broken families. It is finished, he will shout. Or will it be like he did at the grave of Lazarus when he shouted, Lazarus, come forth? Either way, it's going to be a joyous day. It's a day to look forward to. It's a day to be prepared for, because when it comes, we're going to rejoice. And the verse continues, and with a call of the archangel and with a trumpet call of God. The trumpet call of God reminds me of when God gathered his people, like at Mount Sinai in Numbers 19, when it was to declare victory in Jericho in Joshua 6, when it was to enthrone a king, Solomon crowned as a king, 1 Kings chapter 1, or to start the year of Jubilee according to Leviticus 25:9. And we continue with this passage. First, all the Christians who have died will rise from the graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air and remain with him forever. So comfort each other with these words. Here's what Paul wants the church in Thessalonica to know. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. That's not something to doubt. It's not something to sort through. There are many theories as people study the end times about when and how and who and all these other things. And there's just one thing that I know. And that is when Jesus comes back, it'll be like a thief in the night. We'll read that in the night, and we'll read that in a second. But we do know that Jesus is coming back to break through one last time, just like he did at his birth, just like he did in creation, just like he is going to do in your life. The good news to comfort and encourage us is that Jesus is coming back, just like he said. And the good news is God always keeps his word. He's always kept his word. He always will keep his word. For the Thessalonians, the good news was to be removed from persecution. For us, it's a reminder that God does keep his word to comfort and encourage us during those moments and those circumstances that seem so difficult in the moment. It's to help keep us focused. To keep us focused and not to be swayed, not to give up. Then we continue in chapter 5 from 1 to 3. I really don't need to write to you about how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters. For you know quite well that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying all is well, everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a woman's birth pains begin when her child is about to be born. And there will be no escape. Be ready, Paul says. Be ready, be ready, be ready. Some were concerned in the church. They were concerned, what if Jesus returns and I'm not ready? Wouldn't it help if I knew when he was coming back? Well, that's not really the best way to prepare. Think about it. Why would people want to know when Jesus was coming back? Here's a question. Why do workers want to know when the big boss is coming into town? Why do teenagers left at home alone want to know when mom and dad are coming back? Well, here's the thing. If we know when someone is coming back who has certain expectations of us, and we also know how long we can do what we want to do and still have enough time to get ready. The reason why we don't know when Jesus is coming back, among others, is that it's better for us not to know so that we are ready at all times. To not just take our good old merry time to get ready when we feel when it's the last minute, to do what we want to do until time is almost running out, but to prepare ourselves, to become part of the God's people in a way that reflects his glory and that will make him proud when he does return. Jesus always shows up seemingly unexpectedly. In the Gospels, we see Jesus showing up interacting with people, and he breaks through into people's lives unexpectedly. They're not expecting him to be there. Every once in a while, there are people who go and look for him, but so often the stories are about persons he finds on the way, and he breaks through in their circumstances, in what they're living. I had a friend by the name of Gilbert back way many years ago, early in our ministry. And he came and he talked to me one morning. He was really, really shaken. And Gilbert said, I was reading this passage, and I read that that the Lord would be coming back like a thief in the night. And this young man, Gilbert, he was just coming. He was just beginning to know the things of the Lord, and he was very eager to learn. And so he prayed. He said he prayed that the Lord would show him that what that would be like. He said that night he slept so soundly, and thieves broke into the house and they stole some valuable items. He says, now I know what that's like. I wasn't expecting that, but now I understand that. The trouble with thieves is they don't tell you at what time they're coming to steal from you. They just show up when you're not expecting them. And so that's the visual that we have about when Jesus is coming back. When we least expect it, he will be there. God keeps his promises in his time rather than in our time. If God promised something, I know one thing for sure. It's as unavoidable as a child being born. You see, once a labor begins, a mother can't say, on second thought, I don't think I want to do this. The baby is coming and it will happen. And when God promises us different things for our lives, for our future, for our family, for our good, once that promise has been made, it's going to happen. It's unavoidable. God always keeps his word. And we continue verses 4 and 5. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night. Paul says, don't worry. He says, if you live in the light, you don't have to fear what happens in the dark. No secrets. No secrets. No secrets. The biggest fear that many have is that somehow, someday, their secrets may be exposed, that the underlying causes of the circumstances that they're living will be made known. But if we live in the light, there is no fear of what happens in the dark. There's no fear of secrets being revealed. There's no fear because those who live in the light never have to fear what happens in the dark. John wrote in 1 John 1:5-7, this is the message we have heard from him and will declare to you. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Let's go back to the letter that Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians 5:6-7. So be on your guard, he says. Not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be sober. Night is a time for sleep and the time when people get drunk. It's a choice. It's a choice. And it's always a choice. Remember the list of opposites that I read earlier as we're going through this. It's always a choice. The light or the dark. Sleep or get drunk. Paul says, don't get distracted. Keep growing. Live out your faith. Live in the light. No secrets, he says. No secrets. And then verses 8 to 10. But let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and love. It sounds a little bit like Ephesians 6, the armor of God, and the purpose of the armor of God, to stand, to withstand, to persevere. But let us who live in the light think clearly, protected by the body armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God decided to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. He died for us so that we can live with him forever, whether we are dead or alive at the time of his return. And here's the thing. We serve a breakthrough God who protects us while he breaks through. The breaking through can be difficult. The breaking through can be harmful and hurtful. The breaking through can be really painful at times. But God protects us while he breaks through and covers for us, even when we don't deserve it. See, it's the same concept that we have when it comes to salvation. God forgives us of those things that we don't deserve to be forgiven of. He covers for us. His blood covers for us even when we don't deserve it. We serve a breakthrough God who permits us to really live with expectancy and without fear. And in verse 11 of that same chapter, we read, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." Keep building each other up. Remind, encourage, and motivate each other. You've tried hard, really tried hard to change those circumstances. Some of those circumstances seemed impossible and still do. You've done everything you've known to do with family and other relationships related to employment and business and finances, concerning your health and so much more. And no matter how hard you try, so little seems to change. But be encouraged. Be encouraged because your best efforts pale in comparison to what the breakthrough God can do. We serve a breakthrough God, a God who always keeps his word, a God who breaks through when we don't expect it, even after we've given up. Paul writes to Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:4, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." This morning, I want to bless you. I want to bless you and declare over you that the God that we serve, that breakthrough God, is more powerful and more able than anything we have tried to do up to now. And this morning I declare and bless you that God is at work. God is orchestrating your circumstances for your best, even when some of the circumstances seem to be getting worse rather than better. Believe this, God is orchestrating things around you for your best. God is taking down strongholds that have held back the breakthrough. Whether it's been 21 days like Daniel or 21 years like some of you, God is taking down those strongholds, and he's taking them down, and those strongholds will come down, and that breakthrough will happen. And so this morning I declare that what God has promised, he will fulfill. So don't give up. Don't despair, for our God is breaking through on your behalf. This morning I bless you. And Lord, I pray that you would show yourself in different ways in our lives, breaking through those circumstances that we have declared to be impossible. And Lord, I pray forgiveness for having declared things impossible that for you are possible. Not just possible, but you have promised and it will happen. Forgive us, Lord. And this morning we receive your promises. We receive you, Lord. And we ask you, come, Lord Jesus, and break through just like you have been breaking through since creation until today. Just as you will continue to break through from today until you return on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.